This is Farmer's Kitchen on Dubai Eye 103.8.
With Spinneys. Eat well. Live well.
Helen Farmer with you for Farmer's Kitchen, and what a show we have for you today. Out of the studio and in the kitchen with Jason Atherton, who made not one, not two, not three, but four dishes using Spinneys' beautiful British tomatoes. Get ready to feel inspired and probably a little bit hungry. And don't forget, you can head to our YouTube channel to watch again and cook along with us. We're also speaking to a number of chefs who like a bit of a sweet tooth. We were speaking to the founders of Varak, and Chef Angela Musso was with us today from the Larn at the Dorchester. Plus, in conversation with Chef Greg Malouf and Chef Sonu ahead of a four-hand dinner they're having this weekend. And speaking of the weekend, how about a new Sunday brunch bringing together inspiration, imagination, and fun for the family? Mark your diaries.
You're listening to Farmer's Kitchen on Dubai Eye 103.8.
With Spinneys. Eat well. Live well.
I'm Helen Farmer. I'm in conversation this afternoon. And not just that, we are learning to cook today with Chef Jason Atherton. More stars than the sky. And now back in Dubai to treat us to a whole range of culinary treats. I mean, yep. My goodness. You first came to Dubai in...
2000.
The year 2000.
The millennium.
And that was working in...
I was young, 29, I was single, I didn't have any grey hair.
But you were a really integral part of building the Dubai culinary scene. And now you're back. You've got a restaurant that is really, really catching the attention of Dubai's foodies. And I suspect, spoiler alert, some awards to be had over the course of the year. We're going to be delving into that. Before we start talking about you and what's been going on, tell us a little bit about what we're going to be cooking today.
So we're going to start with a master recipe, right? And I like to say that because it's not master as in like it's really complicated. It's quite easy to do. So I do a beautiful recipe. It's for vegetarians where I copy a steak tartare, but I do it with tomatoes. So it's like a vegetarian steak tartare, but with tomatoes. Using those amazing Côte de Bœuf tomatoes here. Hence the word Côte de Bœuf, because it's large like a steak.
Love that.
So I took that inspiration to turn it into a steak tartare. Mm-hmm. But with that, we get lots of trim, right? So rather, you know, the whole world's obsessed with food waste, and rightly so.
Absolutely.
So we turn that into three other recipes where we're gonna take, you know, do a beautiful tomato burrata salad with some gorgeous bread from Spinneys we're gonna just bake. And then we're gonna make a gazpacho. So from all the trim, quickly show you how to cook it all. Then you're just going to marinate it overnight. You can blend it the next day. Then kids come home from school, just pour them a... It's beautiful, hot out there.
Good Dubai dish. Do you know what? Just for a little bit of behind the scenes, when we've had episodes of Farmer's Kitchen Live before, we've teamed up with some amazing chefs and it's been, well, we'll do a dish. You get Jason Atherton here. He's like, not one, but two. And then today he turns up and goes, we might as well do three and four.
Absolutely.
So you are getting a lot of bang for your buck, whether you are listening on Dubai.
There's a lot of tomatoes are going to go through.
Yeah, are you going to put me to work?
Absolutely.
Okay, so what are we starting with, Chef?
So what we're going to start with is we're going to take some of these lovely, larger tomatoes. So let's take a couple of these. You want to pick that one off?
And just for those people who are listening, this has got some really beautiful ridges on it. Mm-hmm. And it's huge.
It feels like
beefsteak.
Beefsteak, Côte de Bœuf tomatoes. So what we're going to do is, we're going to leave the little top on. We're just going to do a little crisscross there.
Okay.
Right, so you want to do that.
Okay.
A little crisscross. Watch your fingers.
Don't, because, you know, we like live TV, but we don't like little
just like that.
There.
You see that?
Okay.
Now that, we've got some nice, it's just stopped boiling, so it's fine. Pop them in.
Okay.
And all that's going to do is then start to release it. We're going to get some ice. Not from the dry store cupboard.
We'll find the freezer. Well, tomatoes are just bobbing away in some hot water. What happens? What are they going to be doing in here? What are we looking to achieve with that?
What we're trying to do is release the skin, because the skin is hard to digest raw. Right, so we're going to release the skin. We're going to pop a little bit.
I just say those are some very stylish ice cubes.
I know you like them.
Aren't they?
I'm not responsible for them, by the way.
No, well, I just like a nice chefy touch in everything you do, but the ice cubes look great. Okay,
great.
So we've got two tomatoes in hot water. This is for our...
And they should be. These are going to be for the tartare. So once they start to just release themselves a little bit longer, yeah, we're just going to...
Where are they from in the world, these tomatoes?
So these are from the Isle of Wight.
Don't think... I hadn't crossed my mind that the Isle of Wight might be a tomato growing...
Have you not?
No.
One, it gets lots of sun.
It does.
Yeah, so it's a bit more sunny than, say, Skegness.
Yes, or indeed the northeast where I'm from.
Exactly. Yeah. So perfect growing temperatures for tomatoes.
Wow. Well, we're actually going to be catching up with Neil Gibson from Spinney's very soon to hear a little bit, because he's the man responsible for this fresh produce. So going out to the farms, which I love the idea of really getting to understand how and, you know, how things are grown and by whom. How long are they going to be in the hot water for?
Well, they'll just be in there for a minute or two. Look,
what can we be doing in the meantime?
In the meantime, we are going to... so basically what we're going to do here with this now is we're going to do some pickled mushrooms to go with it, right?
So when you say tartare, we think about, as you said before, our brain immediately goes to the meat, which is then we have these little kind of add-ons and accoutrements. So we're not just having tomato, we're going to be having some details
as
well.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, right, I mean, let's we've got all the little things here. So we're going to basically turn these into a version of those, right?
Okay.
And then all we've got here is, I want you to, if you've got... can do this for me. It's just basically we're just going to cut them like that.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I'm going to show you how to make a quick pickle. Yeah.
Can I just say the anxiety of being multiple cameras chopping in front of Chef Jason Atherton is real. At least you're not doing making me do like a kind of a fine chop. It's just cutting the little end off. What kind of mushrooms are these, Chef?
These are shimanji. So these are shimanji.
Shimanji.
So these are little Japanese-inspired mushrooms.
Okay.
Farmed.
Yeah.
So they're easy to grow. They're not wild. Super tasty. Can you see that now? So that's all starting to come away.
You can just see the skin coming away where we did the crisscross. Exactly, okay, perfect. Yeah.
So we can pop those into ice, and that will just shock the tomato, and then just stop the skin from overcooking. We can turn that off, like that.
Okay, now, so they're chilling in a little. I mean, they're very on trend having in the ice bath.
Right, exactly. Right.
I'm chopping my
mushrooms. World's obsessed with ice baths.
Have you done an ice bath?
No. Absolutely not. I'm such a wimp, I can't even have a cold shower.
I've done a few, and...
Have you?
Yeah.
What was it like?
I mean, the first one was pretty miserable, to be honest. I'm not going to lie.
Why?
But what's interesting is the kind of the ego that gets involved in the ice bath. When I've spoken to people about that, like, you don't actually need to do it for 15 minutes. If you do it for 2 minutes, you're going to get the benefit, but you get people be like, oh, I was in there for half an hour.
Is that what it is?
It seems like a massive waste of time.
So what's the benefit? Because I've not...
It's very good for for inflammation in the body.
Ah.
I did it a few years ago because I was climbing Kilimanjaro, and we wanted to talk a lot about how your body adapts at altitude. So a lot of it was around breath work, about how can your body get the most oxygen. And so that was quite interesting for breathing, conscious breathing in the ice bath. And it was just good preparation for being absolutely freezing on the side of a mountain.
And how was that, climbing Kilimanjaro?
I did it. Do I want to do it again? Not really, no. But I'm very proud of myself. My knees will never be the same again. The food was horrendous.
Wow.
Because you're, you know, cooking on the side of a mountain. But yeah, it was an interesting challenge.
How long did it take to train to do that? Because I mean, that's a big...
It took a few months. It did take a few months. And you can imagine, you can't really climb mountains in Dubai in the summer. You can go out to some of the, you know, the other Emirates. So you're in Ski Dubai.
In Ski Dubai training?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
my
we were there at 7 o'clock in the morning. There, they turn on the snow machines, and you'd be up there. You'd put a podcast on in your ears, and climb up Ski Dubai. Chef, you've been working on a little potion there. Tell us what's going in the pot.
So all I've got in here at the moment is olive oil, vinegar, white wine vinegar, a little bit of coriander seed in there like that. We're going to pop in a little bit of cinnamon.
Cinnamon?
Yeah, just a stick. That's all.
Okay.
And then.
Can I ask you about the olive oil? Because in our house, we've got like the A team and we've got the B team of olive oil. And I don't know if that's, you know.
In what sense? What do you mean?
And then we've got olive oil that I love the taste of, that I would have, you know, drizzled on some tomatoes, for example.
Yeah, so.
And then, that would be someone that we'd spend a bit more money on. And then we've got olive oil that I'm like, yeah, it's fine for cooking.
Pomace oil for cooking.
So what was it?
Pomace oil.
Never
so pomace is a sort of downgraded version of, and not in a bad way.
Yeah.
It's not it has a much higher burn point.
Right.
Because if you use olive oil for cooking, the burn point's quite low.
So it starts smoking earlier.
So you want a more of a high burn point. And if you want to use olive oil, use pomace. So you can pop them in there.
Okay, so I've got my little mushrooms.
I won't charge you for that.
Thank you.
Hang on a minute, we've got to get this going.
So you've used the Spinney's Mediterranean extra virgin olive oil, and then
that's
we've also
there.
Got the...
But we're going to... Well, he says we're going to get this working. There we go.
Alive.
I don't know what's going on here, but anyway. So we'll pop those in there. We are
Can't beat a nice error message when you're cooking.
We're in.
All right.
Are we in?
He's cracked it.
Oh my God, it's like the Enigma code. Oh, we're in. We're in. Right, now we can move on to our tomatoes. So these are really easy. So that would all we'll literally do that is just wait till that gets warm. And you can see that a beautiful colour, right?
Should just say, guys, we are live on Dubai i103.8, but I would urge you hopping over to our YouTube where you can see me, Helen Farmer, being, I mean, what an amazing opportunity for you as well to cook along with us. Watch it again, get the ingredients. Chef Jason Atherton is with us today, making not one, not two, not three, but maybe four dishes if we can squeeze it in.
Easy.
Only chef. We've got two beautiful, beautiful tomatoes that have been in hot water, and then they've had a little ice bath. And now we're just removing the peel.
A little ice bath.
They have.
A little massage, a little ice bath.
Doing some conscious breathing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So skin is coming off.
Yep, skin's coming off, as you can see.
Very, very easily. And don't forget, if you are watching on our YouTube channel, you can comment there. I want to hear in five words, how is your day so far? Take a little break, reflect, send those five words. And it can be a sentence, it could be just five descriptive words. Get those in. And you could be winning a hamper full of everything in front of me here. So tomatoes, the olive oil, we've got the spices, we've got some croutons, and sadly, chef does not come in
Parmesan.
The hamper. Parmesan, a late addition. So we'd love to treat you to everything you need to create these dishes. So let me know, and as I said, on 4001, you can ask any questions of chef and let me know what you're up to the weekend. But to win, you need to be hopping over to our YouTube comments. So these are giant tomatoes.
Yeah.
With this tomato tartare dish, mm-hmm. how many people do you think that would feed?
This will probably do about four or five people. No
as
problem.
A
depends
starter.
On, obviously, yeah, as a starter, yeah. I mean, if you want to do it as a main course, absolutely. So all we're going to do now is we're going to use these. That's why I kept the sort of top on. We're going to use these for presentation. So we're just going to take that top off, and we're going to keep that because that would be really nice for our...
Oh, that's beautiful.
So we'll keep that for our little presentation. So if you want to cut the top one of that one off...
I really don't. Could you...
You don't?
No.
Do you want me to do it for you?
Yeah, please.
Okay, right. So then all we do here is take the top off like so.
Let's get our close-up camera so I can just show you how beautiful this tomato is in terms of the structure inside. Really, really gorgeous. Look at that.
Give it a little wash. Give that one a little wash.
We've got two little hats that are going to...
Exactly. And then all we're going to do now is we're going to just take all of this off here, because this one we're going to dice.
Okay? This is the outside flesh coming
yeah,
off.
Exactly right. So we're going to take that off. Just it'll just gently come off like so. And then, but we're not going to... This is going to make our gazpacho. So we're not wasting any of that.
I'll take that for you, chef.
So
I'll
you take
this.
That.
We can put that aside for our cold soup for later.
Exactly.
Chef, how have you found it? As I said, you first came to Dubai coming up to 25 years ago.
Oh,
I know. Don't do the maths, people. What about sourcing? I mean, obviously, we're really lucky as consumers. You know, we've got an amazing Spinney store downstairs. But for restaurateurs and chef, how has mm-hmm. how has that changed in the last few decades?
Completely different. I mean, if you imagine the produce I use today in Dubai is just insane. As good as anywhere you get in the world. Mm-hmm. And what's really, what I never believed back then would happen is that now things are growing here. What is so tasty and so delicious. I never believed that would happen. And I'm so happy for the city and for the chefs and for the consumer.
For the farmers, my gosh. Happened.
Yeah, for the farmers, of course,
it
absolutely.
It is super interesting to think about some of the techniques being used, but I always feel like it's that kind of balance between, we want to be local, we want to be sustainable, but you can't sacrifice on taste and flavour.
Yeah,
and to your mind, it's stacking up in that quality as well.
Absolutely. So we get amazing produce now. Back then, we were doing crazy things, like, especially with tomatoes, we couldn't get really amazingly flavoured tomatoes. So what we were doing was squashing tomatoes, reducing the liquid down.
So you get the intensity.
And then injecting that back into fresh tomatoes and leaving them in the fridge overnight to be able to get a tomato to taste a little bit more like a tomato. And that was a trick me and Gordon came up with all those years ago, right?
That's just for context. Dropping Gordon and Gordon.
Well, I was his chef then back then.
You were.
It wasn't my restaurant. It was the big man's restaurant. So I was sent over here by him. I had no idea where Dubai was. I knew it was in the Middle East, but I didn't really know much about
it. Couldn't point it on a map if you...
And absolutely. And then he said, let's go over and check it out. And we came and absolutely fell in love with the city and then stayed for five years.
Fell in love with your wife?
Fell in love with my wife, yes. Got married here at Jebel Ali.
Oh, I love Jebel Ali. Chef Jason Atherton with us today. And we're celebrating Spinney's tomatoes, specifically the British ones, because the man on my right, Chef Jason Atherton, is whizzing up. I mean, I've never seen such productivity in my life. Four dishes using them. The man on my left is the man responsible for bringing those tomatoes to the UAE. Neil Gibson with us from Spinney's. He is the man all about that fresh produce. So, tomatoes from the Isle of Wight. Tell
That's
us
right.
more.
I mean, Chef touched on briefly about being a good growing environment. Have you been there? Can you tell us a little bit more?
That's right. We went there 2 weeks ago, had a look at the island. It's a diamond-shaped island, 3 miles south of the mainland. And the shape and size of it means that the clouds moving in from the Atlantic seem to disperse and not hit the island. Wow. So it does have a huge amount of sunlight. It also has its fair share of rainfall, so that helps in the growing. And we find that they're not only very early in the season, so they start growing from April, they can go later till November, and the flavour and the sugar content is a bit higher than what we find elsewhere in the world. So really on that latitude, it's pretty much the best place.
So when you go and visit a farm, could you kind of lift the lid for us a little bit? I mean, obviously they're there because they want you to spread the word and spread the goods. Are you just tasting and tasting and tasting a lot as
a big
part of your job?
We do a lot of tasting, yeah. So we had a big display like this on the day we visited, and there was quite a few of us there from Spinneys. There were some of our best palates we have at Spinneys. And
what
then
we job.
Went through basically tasting all these tomatoes. There's around about 25 different varieties. So we're looking at the look of the tomato, the texture, the juiciness, the sugar content we actually measure as well as taste it, the kind of mouth feel. So is it mealy, is it crunchy? So all those things we grade.
It's been like a sommelier of tomatoes.
Effectively, yeah. So after a while, you become quite an expert in tasting tomatoes.
And then can I ask, and I want to get Chef's take on this as well, do you think about the UAE palate? Because when I've spoken to people, and we are going to be talking about desserts later in the show, that the Middle Eastern palate, we want something a bit sweeter, we tend to gravitate towards. Is that something you have to take in consideration?
Definitely, that's right. So we try and cater for all the different people live in the country, but definitely the local Emirati taste is relatively sweet. So when we find something which is a really high Brix, which for tomatoes around about 10, we think, okay, this is just perfect for the local guys.
It's a whole new world. And Chef Jason Afton, can I ask you the same question? You got your start in London, came to Dubai, you've had restaurants all over the world. Mm-hmm. And some of your dishes are signatures. And when you open up, people are like, oh gosh, I really hope he brings. How do you then think about what's going to work well in a market when you're serving people in a restaurant?
Yeah, of course. Well, I mean, the most important thing is to always take the sensibilities of the city you're working in or the country you're working in and try and make sure that you it's a local restaurant first before it becomes an international restaurant after. Because if you go in with that international outlook, you completely alienate the local custom.
And so you're not listening, you're not looking.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
And in terms of dishes that you have brought over for City Social, you know, Row 145, which we're going to kind of delve into a little bit, are there any tomato-based dishes?
Yeah, absolutely, of course there is, yeah. I mean, we're bringing in some amazing tomatoes from Japan, the tiny little baby Shizuku tomatoes, which are, you know, they're literally like eating candy.
Really?
You know, they're more expensive than golden caviar. I mean, they're insane, these things. So we want to share that, but that's for Row. You know, Row 145 is a very unique concept. Mm-hmm. We're using Isla White tomatoes down in City.
Just what we're using today.
So we're very passionate about British product.
And when back in the Marina Social days, you had the tomato with the kind of chop off, and it was like an illusion.
Yeah,
inside.
Yeah, that's right.
And then I love this idea of having that moment of whether it's a reveal or a moment of surprise.
Yeah.
That theatre, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we love all that.
Right, let's have a little recap. We've got Neil with us today from Spinneys, Chef Jason Atherton. Me, Helen Farmer, we're live on YouTube. Hop on over. Just for those listening, though, in our bowl, we have got our diced tomatoes. We've got some olive oil. Would you mind just telling us again
Absolutely.
About what's in this pot?
So what we've got
redressed
in here
it.
Is we made a tomato compote. We put in Worcester sauce, Tabasco. You can use ketchup, which a lot of chefs traditionally use for steak tartare, but we like to make it from fresh. Worcester sauce, Tabasco, a little bit of olive oil, seasoning, lemon juice, and that then goes in. We fold a little bit into that. We can put a tiny bit more in there. We'll fold that in, and now you can start to see it starts to now look a little bit like steak tartare.
It does, and it actually seems to be releasing some juices as well.
And it's super tasty. A little bit of seasoning in there, a little bit of sea salt.
Neil, while you're here, would you mind telling us a little bit about some of the tomatoes in front of us? Because when I was in the store downstairs, you've got these moments, you know, like these beautiful tomatoes, but you've got some local, you've got it all. So tell us a little bit about the offering and I guess what some of those tomatoes can lend themselves to.
Okay, so we have the local Pure Harvest tomatoes, which are an all year round fantastic offer of tomatoes. My favourite from them is the Straubina, which is almost like a strawberry shaped one. That's got super high Brix, it's a nice depth of flavour, and I think it holds its texture during cooking as well. Here's some of my favourites was the Golden Côte de Bœuf, This one, actually, when you slice it, it's marbled red inside.
Let's slice it.
We can spare a tomato, can't we? Make sure I'm not lying.
And who better? Let's see if we can show the camera. Do you know what? You guys head over. I'm going to have a quick look on our comments because we have got... Oh, my gosh, look at that. Let's see if we can show you on camera. So beautiful. Gorgeous. Absolutely beautiful. And unexpected, because we think about the normal structure of a tomato. It's completely different.
So you've got double the normal amount of cells here, so which while they look quite cool. You can slice them really thinly, and they keep their shape.
That's what we do. That's
yeah, and with this particular tomato, it's almost got some citrus notes, and I've got a hint of melon when I tried it as well. So it's a really quite an in-depth flavour. So this is one of my favourites. In terms of the small ones, we've got the Twixia. Which is a little brown one here. Looks a bit like a sort of chocolate coloured. It's got a real depth of flavour, this one. It's quite a savoury tomato, but where it's got the high sugar levels, it's also got the high acidity, so you're getting that real balance of flavours. So this one's great for just flavour explosion. We also like the Kazuti as a cherry on the vine. This is my favourite one right now. Really high sugar levels, nice depth of flavour.
Gorgeous.
And there's one that's not here, which is the Wabi Sabi, which is the latest tomato.
Wabi Sabi?
When we went...
Where's that from?
Sounds like Star Wars.
It is actually from a Japanese breeding program. And it's literally a flavour explosion. When I ate it, I thought I was eating ragu. It's like a whole meal in one tomato. That was our favourite of the whole tasting session. The only problem was it's still in development mode. So we've secured and got them to grow it for us.
And then we can introduce you guys. We'll get it on the menu.
We'll make sure we send some to Jason. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Neil, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it. And it's all in store now. So thank
exactly.
you. We're going to be catching up. And we need to get cooking, Chef.
Absolutely.
Right. We've made our tomato tartare. It is chilling at the front, ready for a tasting later. We've put some pickled mushrooms on there. We've put some croutons and some... The basil smells amazing. Mm-mm. And now Chef has just tasked me with having a bit of a shop with tomatoes in front of us. Because what is our next dish, Chef?
So we've just got a variety of tomatoes. I want to show you this because this is so easy to do. So if you attempt this, which is a little bit more sophisticated and chefy, you're going to have tomatoes left over. And you can literally, if you cook a steak at home or a chicken, you can knock this salad up in literally seconds. So all it is, it's just fresh tomatoes. I've just given them a chop, a little wash. And then here, what I've got here is, this is onion.
That's onion. It's a paste for those of you listening.
Just, all this is just onion, what I've cooked down, and then a pureed, right? So then you can keep this in a pickling jar, keep it in your fridge. It's actually really nice on brioche.
I was just about to say, maybe a little brioche, maybe a bit of goat's cheese. You know.
Exactly. So you can use it for...
It smells so sweet.
Multiple of things. And then all you're going to do, Helen, please, I just want you to start building a beautiful little salad like this, all in there to make it look really pretty. You can do that bit.
Chef, I asked you before about those kind of moments, you know, in the restaurant where you know, there's a reveal or there's drama.
Yeah.
How has Instagram and people's phones... change the way that you create dishes, serve dishes?
Well, I remember a time when we didn't even have phones, never mind Instagram, right? And the only, you know, when you were going to meet somebody, you had to arrange to meet them and you were there.
I was the same when I was growing up. It's like, I'll see you at the monument at 11 o'clock outside French Connection.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That was it. And if you weren't there, that was it.
That's it. And then people went without you.
Yeah.
It was your fault for being late, right?
Exactly. Now.
Now it's completely different. So I, I think it's an amazing tool. I think, you know, we've got to be careful we don't move too fast.
Mm-hmm. And you say this as a father as well, right?
Absolutely, right? You know, and I allow the children at the weekends to have so much time on their phones. And the rest of the time it's family time. And I think the whole world's sort of starting to understand that a bit more now, which is great. So I think it's fantastic for restaurants. It's a great marketing tool.
It is.
You know?
But do you get people coming in just saying, won't even look at the menu, they'll show it? Instagram and say,
absolutely.
I want to eat this,
you know, in London we get a lot of customers that are starting to come back from traveling from China now, which is amazing. And you know, obviously they don't speak 100% perfect English, and nor should they, because they're from a different country.
So comes the visuals,
so they'll come and they'll say, this is, you know, they'll just get it up on Instagram and say point.
How do
and
you
that's
feel,
the menu, right?
How do you feel about the people that say, before we eat, the camera eats, and then you've got hot food that's getting cold because everything's being lit and
yeah,
everything.
I get it, but I mean, no, I'm not. Do you know what? I'm 52, and I don't get over.
You're mellowing in your age.
Just like what will be, right?
Chef with us today, we've just created, we have, it was a collaboration. Beautiful plateful of a real variety of tomatoes on there. We had the lovely golden that we were talking about with Neil earlier that's marbled inside. He says it's got twice the number of cells. Well, let me just show you that again because it's quite hard to explain. But if you are watching on YouTube, you can see what I'm talking about here. We've also got some of the smaller ones that were on the vine. And you've just been tearing apart some burrata.
Absolutely. Spinney's burrata is absolutely delicious. That's super soft.
You weren't joking. That took seconds.
Absolute seconds. Absolutely. And then we're just going to season them up a little bit. We're going to add a tiny bit of our spinach of white.
Looks very vibrant.
So this is really easy. This is pesto. You can make this. People buy it these days, but really it's so easy to make and rewarding. And all this is fresh parmesan, pine nuts, which you can see here. Or you can get all from any spinny store. Pop it in the blender, a little bit of olive oil, all your herbs. You don't even have to use basil.
Smells
and then it's
incredible.
Done. And then this served with chicken or steak or fish. It's fantastic, rather than doing it with vegetables all the time.
You just said that you wouldn't even need to use basil. You say pesto, I think basil. What other herbs could actually work
coriander
in that format? Really?
And you know what I do, what I'm doing for a winter one, when it's a little bit chillier, I use blanched cabbage leaves. I make cabbage pesto.
Oh, that would be quite... I think we've done a dish before with kale pesto, and that worked. Like, it was so bright, so, so vibrant. Look at this.
One second. I'm just going to whack on your carbs, because I know you love a bit of carb.
I need a little Friday afternoon carb action, Chef. Thank you for looking after me.
And there you go.
Wow.
How simple as that?
Now, we've got two beautiful complete dishes in front of us. We've also got... Well, I mean, it depends. You could say wasted, you could say opportunity. We're going to say opportunity.
Absolutely.
What are we going to be doing with some of these leftover bits of tomato? We've got some burrata there. I mean, that won't be left over around me for very long, so I wouldn't factor it into your recipe, to be honest, Chef.
So we'll pop that over there. Right, so what we're going to do now is we'll take another plate. And again, this is really easy. This is something when I just saw the tomatoes and thought, well, you know, it'd be really cool to show people at home how to do this. Is, let's go a little wipe here, is if you take these absolutely amazing tomatoes like that, which are so beautiful.
I mean, this tomato is, you know, then, bigger than your fist. This is the golden.
Absolutely. You just take really thin slices like that. Can you see? So we're taking really not. We're not gonna.
See, you're saying simple. I'm thinking though, that's decades of knife skills.
Do you think? Do you think?
Yeah, I would need to practice. Oh, and look at that. It's beautiful.
We're going to just take these around.
Thin slithers of tomato just being laid up on the plate there.
This is something you can, for a dinner party, you can do at home. You can just, you know, if you're cooking a meal for two. I mean, this is really easy.
Can I ask you about home?
Yeah.
You know, busy family man, obviously in the kitchens a lot, but left to your own devices, Chef Jason Atherton. If you've got a night in on your own, what are you cooking? Are you ordering in? What are you doing?
I always cook at home. Always. I'm very lucky. I've got a beautiful kitchen, and I love to cook at home.
Even if it's just for you, what would you make for dinner for one?
Dinner for one, you know, I love making fresh pasta, so I'll quite often make fresh pasta. I don't like buying it in. I like to make it because I think it's really simple to make.
Why are we doing it now? We've got tomatoes.
I mean, we just
don't feel like you're working hard enough for me this afternoon. I think most people listening and watching today would think I'm on my own. We've completed three dishes. I think we're going to do a gazpacho.
Period.
Unbelievable.
And we'd have kings and queens begging for tables. It was just the most insane project to be part of.
Chef Jason Atherton with us today. We're live back on the radio just talking about his time in El Bulli. So 2 million requests from hungry diners wanting to eat in what at that time was the number one restaurant in the world. But no pressure in the kitchen then. People have been waiting years to get their spot. You don't want to disappoint those people.
Me and my wife were very lucky. We got to eat on the final when it was closing. So he invited all his proteges back to go and eat there.
What was that lineup like? Who else was around
insane,
the table?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I had everybody from Grant Achatz to some of the greatest chefs in the world, who you know, Ronnie Redzepi from Noma, and then little old me.
I bet they were like Jason Atherton's here. But let's crack on.
Right, so what we've got here, so we've got all this leftover tomato. And all we simply do with that, right, and what I've done earlier, is
in true Blue Peter style.
Absolutely, is all I've done with that is blended all this with shallot, fresh olive oil, sea salt, a tiny little bit of vinegar, and then all we do, we have to chill it down. That's why it was very important for me that I had to make it a little bit earlier. And then all I do with this, and you can keep this in the fridge, you know,
for
days and days. It's completely perfect days later. And then all we're doing with that is we've already made our pesto, so we're just going to bang a tiny little bit of pesto in that for us. And then
that looks amazing. You're saying whizz it up. What would be your whizzer of choice, your food
blender?
Food blender. Yeah.
I use Thermomix because they're the professional one. Obviously, I have one at home.
People get obsessed with their Thermomix.
Thermomix are incredible.
I mean, they're a big investment, but people use them for absolutely everything in the kitchen. So good little chef endorsement there. Just putting some of that herb oil on.
Yeah.
I think we're going to need to find a spoon.
And you know what? That's a product left over from this, because a lot of people will go, oh, what to do with that? Because if you look at this, it looks pretty ugly. You know, a lot of people just throw that away. That creates that.
Yeah, this is the thing. As you said earlier, rightfully, chefs, restaurants, hotels are weighing their waste. Thinking,
absolutely.
You know, where are the missed opportunities? Also looking at the bottom line, the impact it has on that. So a bit of creativity can have
We use all of our food waste now. It's actually going to be on Dubai Dishes. I worked with a gentleman, I'm not going to spoil it for the show, but I worked with a gentleman who's got an amazing chili shop down in, well, a fermentation school down in.
I know him. He's been part of the Spinneys Incubator program,
amazing.
So he's going to be in the stores soon. But I mean, I love people with passion. But I also love people with really niche passions.
Yeah.
To be niche passionate about chili and fermentation.
Yeah. Worked in the finance world, now he's fermentation mad. I love that guy.
Brilliant. So we could be incorporating a bit of that as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can I ask you about brunch? Mm-hmm. It is the weekend, we're getting people in the mood. Brunch has evolved an awful lot in the time that I've been in Dubai, and for you as well. What do you feel like the modern Dubai diner wants from their Saturday afternoons?
Well, I think, you know, it's a time where people have been working really hard during the week. You know, it's their first time to sort of relax, the sun's shining, go out with their friends, and you know, that's why we make it more of a sharing occasion. Yeah. Very food focused. You know, we do party and have fun, but it's not a mass. It's not a rave.
It's also not the buffet.
Yeah, it's not a buffet.
Which has its place, but maybe it's me getting older. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go and grab some knives and forks. We can do some tasting, chef.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I think we've got some very hungry people here. Do you know what? We're always very popular here on a Friday. Suddenly everyone comes out of the woodwork from Dubai Eye and Spinneys and they go, hi, we want to eat something. So in terms of things that have done well on the City Social brunch menu, what are people really enjoying?
Well, you know, basically what we do is we do like a seafood trolley that goes around the table.
Talking about drama.
Yeah, okay. We got the oysters, we've got tiger prawns, Madagascan grilled prawns. We've got all these beautiful little cockles we do, and it's just absolutely delicious. We do all that table side. And then we have a steak tartare.
I'm going with the gazpacho for those listening, by the way.
If you taste that now, you get that. Look how nice and fresh and cold that is.
Just remind us what you put in the gazpacho. Obviously, we've got our tomatoes before.
Oh,
it's delicious.
It's good, right?
Do you know what's really great? Is the vinegar coming through, having that bite of it. That is
a little bit
so
of that pesto,
good.
You know?
Is there any garlic in there?
Mm. Garlic.
So oh my goodness.
Fresh, all the leftover tomato, olive oil, garlic, shallot. That's where you get that quite a little bit of heat from the raw shallot.
I know I should be talking
blend
to
it,
you, but I'm just eating it.
Blend it and pass it, and that's it. That's all it is.
Mm.
Yeah. If you've got time, it's nice to blend it and then leave it,
just
and then pass it the next day, because you get a little bit more extract, a little bit more flavour.
We've got our three dishes. For those of you just tuned in, Helen Farmer in conversation and in the kitchen with Chef Jason Atherton. We've created four dishes in less than an hour with some absolutely beautiful, fresh Spinneys tomatoes. And we started with this, which was our tomato tartare, with some very expertly chopped mushrooms by yours truly. For those of people who have just tuned in, while I have a taste, would you mind just recapping what's in here?
So we've taken cut the buff beefsteak tomato as our inspiration for the steak. We've blanched them, we've peeled them. We've taken the outsides off, we've diced them up, and then we've mixed that with a little dressing of Tabasco, fresh tomato compote, or ketchup, Worcester sauce, mustard, and that acts then inside that cornichons, egg yolk, jam, pickled mushrooms, a little bit of sour dough on top, crispy, and then basil leaves. And then you get that real steak tartare flavour.
Go on, chef, I'll let
Is
you have
good?
A little taste. It's delicious. The egg yolk jam, It's such a smart idea. It really, really is. I think we've just got 1 minute left.
So
I'm going to do a speedy eat of our tomato salad, which has got range of tomatoes. It's also got your pesto. And it's got the Spinney's burrata as well. So let's have a little crunch into that.
I mean, what a perfect accompaniment for a chicken or steak or a bit of grilled fish.
I'd eat it on its own. I really, really would. Mm. Super, super easy, super impressive. And the smell, it's also super healthy.
And those tomatoes, the flavour they're releasing, it's just making me salivate. They're so good.
Chef, it has been such a treat. Thank you so much for your time today, especially on a Friday. I know how busy you are. We've got some very hungry people over here who want to come in.
Talent.
Job well done. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
This is Farmer's Kitchen on Dubai Eye 103.8.
With Spinneys. Eat well, live well.
It is 10 minutes past three, and not one but two chefs joining us now ahead of a four-hands dinner as part of Dubai Food Festival. We have got Middle Eastern master chef Greg Maloof and the executive chef at Taj Exotica Resort and Spa at the Palm, Chef Sonu. Both, thank you so much for making time, because I know how busy you are all the time, but especially now. I'd love to hear a little bit about... No, it's my pleasure. I just wish you were able to come here, but I know how you're prepping furiously ahead of your collaboration. Chef Greg, how are you? What's been the highlight of your week so far? Life is good?
Life is busy and a little wet from last week. I think Dubai's managed to deal with that in an amazing way. So at the moment, I've been living in the kitchen at the Taj on the Palm, creating some dishes with Chef Sonal. So it's been incredible. I'm really enjoying it.
I'm really excited to hear how you guys are going to be kind of coming together, Greg, because you're an Australian chef of Lebanese descent. You are a pioneer of modern Middle Eastern cuisine. And then we're bringing in some Indian flavors. Chef Sonu, how are you?
I'm doing good, Helen. Thank you. Doing great.
Tell us a little bit about you growing up. Who was cooking and what were some of the dishes that were being eaten by the family?
I do a lot of dishes, especially when it comes to my home cuisine, always it's Indian. But here today, last 2 days, I'm actually working with Chef Greg Maloof. It's an honor for us to be with him. Excited, a lot of new recipes and culinary revolution, I can say, because I'm working with the father of modern Arabic cuisine.
I'm glad you didn't say godfather.
Greg, you've been in the business for years. You've won awards, you've written books. What still inspires you now, all of these decades on? What still gets you excited about food?
Well, a few things. Firstly, we're working on our ninth book on North Africa.
Wow.
So again, that's going to create more interest in, well, I think for me, it'll add to my repertoire. And there's some undiscovered areas or regions in North Africa that I'm so interested about. So there's that part of it. The other part is, because I do quite a few events and consultancy work and promotional work, I get to work in kitchens across the world, and you know, the strength of the kitchens with the younger crew, and I challenge them and they challenge me, and I think that's where the interest lies, because when they start challenging me, that it kind of indicates that they're thinking outside the box a little bit, and you know, they're new and fresh and have different ideas, and I like to take that on board.
It just goes to show that, and I believe this, you know, I'm lucky enough to meet amazing people, you know, through the show every day, but you can learn something from everyone. It would be very easy for you to, you know, to be looked up to as this, as I said, you know, pioneer and master, and think that you are all knowing, but to be able to say, God, it's really interesting who's in the kitchen today. You know, let's talk, let's collaborate, let me hear your ideas, because that must keep things fresh.
Well, it does. Yeah, even just silly little techniques that I've never thought of, are introduced to me. And that's just through the younger generations that have come through and think a little differently. So, and you know, we help each other. So I can teach them things that they, that kind of, not old world, but old school, especially mm-hmm. things like butchery and you know, the finer things of, well, the more difficult techniques of cooking. You know, that's where I come into it. But they've got contemporary modern ways of looking at the younger generation have a different way of looking at cuisines or a kitchen. Yeah. So I think
and
we both
just
benefit.
Not cooking, but also how, you know, how we eat and how we socialise and how we, you know, photograph and enjoy food. We've got joining us on the line now Chef Greg Maloof and Chef Sonu from Taj Exotica. Up next, I'm going to hear more about their four-hand dinner. It's part of Dubai Food Festival. So what's on the menu? What's it been like to share the kitchen? And when is it? That's all coming your way very, very soon indeed here on Farmer's Kitchen. Helen Farmer with you live until 5. Let me know on the text line, what are your plans for the weekend? Where are you going? What are you doing? We love your ideas, your inspiration, your recommendations too. And it's not too late to go to our YouTube channel, DubaiEye1038, and indeed get involved in our competition. I've got a hamper full of goodies. If you tell me in 5 words, how is your day?
You're listening to Farmer's Kitchen on Dubai Eye 103.8.
With Spinneys. Eat well, live well.
Joining us on the line, we've got a brace of brilliant chefs. We've got Middle Eastern Master Chef Greg Maloof, who've just been hearing from, and Chef Sonny, who's the executive chef at Taj Exotica Resort and Spa on the Palm. They are joining forces for a four-hands dinner, part of Dubai Food Festival. Can I ask you, Chef Sonny, what's it like sharing the kitchen? How has it been coming up with the menu and collaborating behind the scenes?
Oh, like what I said, mentioned earlier, it's exciting, and especially with Chef Maloof and his recipes and my recipes together. It's an amazing combination. Creating a unique dining experience for the food lovers of Dubai is an achievement for Raya and also for the Taj Exotica on the Palm. I must thank Dubai Food Festival for giving us this wonderful opportunity to be a part of Dubai's diverse gastronomic offerings. Let me tell you, this contributes a lot towards Dubai's commitment to showcasing its vibrant culinary landscape on a global stage.
It does, and it's a really good example of cuisines coming together, which is what Dubai does so well. You know, we're such an international city.
Yeah, look, Dubai's grown considerably over the last... Look, I've been here 10 years. When I first arrived, I was struggling, and now it's incredibly diverse. The quality's increased... incredibly, mm-hmm. both with the service side of it, and produce in ingredient side as well, and that part's quite exciting. I'm happy. There were a couple of years or a few years of me being thinking that am I really in the right place, and after kind of sticking it out, I've really enjoy the fact that it has grown. Rapidly, and also with homegrown restaurants as well. That's quite an achievement. Yeah,
it really is. This kind of this also a bit of third culture. You know, people that have grown up here starting their restaurants here as well. We've only got a couple of minutes left, so I guess my last question to you is: well, your my last challenge is make us hungry. We've got two brilliant brains coming together in one kitchen, four hands. How many courses and what's on the menu? Chef, let's start with you, Sonu. What are you looking forward to serving up?
Well, I must highlight the starters, what we are offering, a beautiful selection of metze, which includes my signature mohmara, which is coming from Syria. Interesting, and definitely my kebab, which is the Turkish Adana kebab, which is one of my best sellers. And I have a beautiful sticky date pudding, which is a creation of my pastry chef. We have done a lot of research on this and came up with a brilliant option. So these are the highlights on the menu from my side. And chef.
Well,
and Greg?
There's a few things that I guess I was experimenting with for a while, and now I've decided to go forward with them. And one is pastirma, but made with Scottish salmon. Pastirma, as we know, is it's a beef, a cured beef dish that's highly spiced. But I've decided, well, I was looking at salmon and doing a similar concept. So that's turned out really well. And that's served with a ricotta kind of labneh or yogurt whipped with ricotta and lots of lime and black pepper. That's one dish that I'd like to highlight. The other, I mean, there's great mezza dishes, but the thing is I only get to dessert, and there's a mahala beer, which everyone is familiar with in this part of the world. It's basically a milk pudding, mm-hmm. but it kind of added a few layers to it with passion fruit and orange jelly. And these gorgeous little honey wafers as well. There's also a baklava that I actually make. That's has lots of pistachio and almonds through it. But it's like a cigar that's squashed, or it looks like it's scrunchy, if I can use that word, that yeah. description. And that's served with lemon curd that's folded with whipped cream and caramel. So it's just a classic baklava or batlewa. But I'm a big fan. I've got a very sour palate and I love lemon. So lemon curd is... Oh, works beautifully.
It's heaven. It is. If there's any kind of lemon dish on a dessert menu, I'm like, you've just put everything out of my head. I will completely zone in on that. So I'm with you. Guys, we're going to let you go back to the kitchen. It is tonight and tomorrow night. We've got Greg Malouf and Chef Sonu from the Taj Exotica Resort on the Palm coming together for two nights only. I think it's going to be very popular indeed. Is there still a chance of getting a table? I think we've lost our chefs. Right, they've clearly headed back 24. To the kitchen. Thank you so much. 24 hands. 24. Yeah, all hands on deck.
The kitchen. That's, yeah.
Good. Well, shout out to them. And thank you so much for your time today. Massively appreciated.
Thanks,
go and have an absolutely brilliant few nights. And very lucky for the people that have managed to get a table for what sounds like an incredible celebration of cuisines and talent.
This is Farmer's Kitchen on Dubai Eye 103.8.
With Spinneys. Eat well, live well.
I have to say, it's a familiar face in front of me because her food is amazing. We are diving into the world of luxury desserts now with none other than Viva, the co-founder of Varak. Been tantalizing taste buds across Dubai with her creations, from dreamy cakes to gifting. This is where sweet dreams come true, Diva. How are you?
Very well. Thank you so much, Helen, for having us.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you for being with us as well. I know how busy you are. We're going to talk about balancing motherhood and entrepreneurship. But let's start at the beginning. What sparked your culinary journey? And why was it desserts in particular that you wanted to dedicate your life to, as it turns out?
Oh, absolutely. So I think it all started in my mother's kitchen when I was 8 years old. She was very fond of baking. And as a child, I've seen her mixing cake batters, making themed cakes. And I think that's what, it was just beautiful and magical for me to see eggs, butter and flour turning into something this yummy and becoming the highlight of a party.
It's alchemy.
Absolutely.
I think we kind of forget that you have these. And we saw it just before with some of the ingredients with Chef, that you see something you'd pick up from the supermarket shelves and then it becomes something special. And especially with desserts, when it's often so celebratory.
So celebratory, yeah. It becomes a highlight of any party, and that's what sparked in me since then. And I finished college, university, and I decided to take this up as a profession. I just happened to gift a couple of cupcakes to somebody, and that's where it all started. My first order was baking 500 cupcakes.
What?
12 odd years ago. So that's where it all started. And ever since, I'm grateful I found my calling when I was that young. And I've adhered to it. And I'm so grateful for that.
Tell us a little bit about the philosophy. Because it's one thing to say, you know, I love baking, I love cupcakes, I want to make people happy on their birthdays.
Totally.
But that edible luxury idea. Tell us a little bit about, why you wanted to go down that route, especially in a city like Dubai.
So I did bake a lot for a lot of years in India. We moved to Dubai, and the most beautiful part of the different nationalities, and all of them came with different ingredients, and I was explored and exposed to so many new ingredients, and you know, where it could be fruits. We have a mango cake on our menu which literally goes viral. So ingredients is something that is very close to my heart, mm-hmm. and that's what helps what Varak is.
So you mentioned there about some influences, you know, from, you know, growing up to, you know, hearing people's stories, bringing them together. Have you had any kind of culinary disasters along the way where you've thought this flavor would work, and then when it came to actually trying it in the kitchen, like, that flavor does not work?
Of course, actually there are so many, right? Because every product that you create or comes out of the kitchen is not, it's not that way on the first go. There are so many trials and so many steps that it has to go through. Mm-hmm. I think oranges and peaches, there was this one time where I thought, let's get super experimental, because I love flavors and being experimental, and I made a hazelnut orange and peach cake, and I think that just didn't
It
sounds delicious.
And then on the other side, you've become famed for, I mean, you mentioned the mango cake there. I saw you at El Sakal recently with the brownies, which everybody loves.
Oh, yeah.
What's it like seeing people's reactions to some of your desserts and sweets?
It's beautiful. It's beautiful the way Dubai has kind of, you know, absorbed us and like our products. And over the period of time, our business is now 4 years old. And what we've realized is that people out here really like soul food. Like, they want clean ingredients. Mm. Something that takes you back to your childhood, or that's something that's more nostalgic. You know, less is more is what our motto is, and I think that's working best for us.
I also think in you and your co-founder partner, Preet, as well, you're always there. Like, that to me is so important, that a business is there, seeing the reactions of customers, having a chat, talking about the produce. I feel like people care more than ever about where these ingredients
are
from.
That's true. They do. I think even if they don't care, in the end, it is visible in your product. People can taste that. And that's when they ask us. So we've got a lot of people asking us, where are you sourcing your ingredients from, or where your cream is from, or where your mangoes are from, or what chocolate you're using. And it's amazing to bring that story out to them, right? That it's just closer to their hearts the moment you get it out.
What about sourcing? We were just talking about sustainability earlier today with, you know, using scraps of tomatoes and herbs to make a gazpacho. How do you have that sustainability piece in your mind when it comes to the kind of the sweeter ingredients, Diva?
In terms of sustainability in our kitchen, we use every part, whether we're talking of nuts or whether we make our own pistachio paste, we are trying to make our own hazelnut paste. All our ingredients are very pure and natural and true to us. And I think sustainability is as much coming it's not even trendy. I think it's important, right?
It's not a moment.
So whether when we make a cake sponge, right, the vanilla sponge, we make cake, and when we have scraps from that cake, we're using them in trifles. We have a whole segment that's called trifles and puddings, and then we use, instead of throwing up the wastage, or, you know, when we remove the top layer of the cake. So we're trying to not waste as much as we can in terms of ingredients.
Diva, I wanted to ask you, well, first, I want to congratulate you.
Thank you.
Your
so
little
much.
One is just 3 months old. I think anyone who has worked for themselves or had their own business will understand that you are always on. You're pitching the work, you're doing the work, you're invoicing, you are HR, you are PR. How are you managing it with a young family?
I think I'm lucky we have a co-founder here, we're husband and wife and a co-founder, so we're literally juggling. I think I'm almost 3 months into motherhood, and it's beautiful, firstly, magical. It's hard, it's exhausting, it's everything together. Preet had to get back to work the second day since I delivered. I got back to work, I think, 20 days post I delivered. And I started working an hour in the kitchen, to 2 hours, to 3 hours, and mom guilt is real.
Tell me about it.
He is so tiny, he's supposed to be sleeping all the time. and each time I'm like, I get glimpses of him probably smiling, and oh my God, I missed it. So yeah, the balance is hard, but we're getting there. It's beautiful.
Well, it's such an inspiration to him to see his parents building something so, so special. Preet, thank you for being with us today. We're here at Spinneys. Tell us a little bit about some of the collaborations, the projects, the events. What are you working on right now that you're really excited about?
We just opened a new store on the 12th of Jan, and then the baby came on the 29th. So we've like,
wow,
let's do it all.
Strong start to the year.
So I heard something, and it really stuck by me, whereas in, like, you know, small brands compete and big brands collaborate. And I really took that seriously. And so we've got a really cool canvas and confections workshop happening tomorrow. Then we've got a really cool yoga and cake happening on the 5th.
Put those hands together on the 15th.
Yeah, on the 5th of May.
Where, just to come back to the canvas and confection, where's that going to be?
That's
going to
happen tomorrow at the store at Varak. It's in Churchill Tower in Business Bay. So it's a beautiful artist, Fox Art. And we're going to do something with gold. And we've done a limited menu tray with items that are not on the Varak menu. something very fresh, plated by the amazing chef.
Aww.
So that's the incentive of people to come down.
And then yoga and cake on the 5th.
Yes,
so
yoga and cake.
Health, sweet stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a lot of
body approach
stuff.
To happiness.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Self-care.
I mean, yeah.
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 Self-care.
You burn and you earn.
What about the gifting? Can I ask you about that? Because I've taken some of your things to dinner parties before, and I think it's a really big, it's a big thing here in the UAE to, you know, to go to someone's house with something in hand, or, you know, for Eid gifts as well, end of term teacher things. What's been resonating well with clients, and what are some of your favorite kind of gifting opportunities on the sweet front?
So the brownies, abritals, these are things that stay without refrigeration for a long time, and I think that's what people prefer. We've got flavored nuts, we've got these Florentines, English Inspire, those are our best
amazing.
Sellers, the brittles. So that's what keeps us going. I think it's refreshing for people to gift things that are not just chocolates mm-hmm. or cookies or cakes. So we have almost 50% of our business is gifting. We had a recent Eid Ramadan box that was curated by Preet.
Yeah, I mean, I think so nuts is something that's always in very high demand. We've played around with millets because it's coming back. We've done stuff with sorghum. And what we did, which was very important, is that people in this part of the world like the gift to look big. We always have this
impact.
Request.
The wow moment.
Yeah, everybody's like, we care what's inside, but we also care how it looks. Mm-hmm. So packaging is a very big part of our business.
Wow.
So we make sure that it, and a lot of times it's underwhelming, right? You get a really beautiful looking gift, which is huge, and then you open it and it's stuffed paper, and then it's a little piece. So we make sure that it's good inside and out. We get a lot of compliments on that, so.
And lastly, to you both, what projects, developments can we expect from 2024? I mean, a baby and a new store in January. I mean, I think you deserve a break, but I suspect looking and knowing the both of you, you're probably not going to stop anytime soon.
So 2023, we promised that 2024, we'll take it easy because we have the baby coming in, but it doesn't look like it.
Dubai had other plans.
I swear. So we just made, every time we're working super hard, we say that we're building it for him.
Yeah.
So we've got Abu Dhabi underway this year.
Mabruk.
We've got Dubai duty free, gifting only.
That'll do really
well. And
we're
thinking of a Dubai mall kiosk.
And we're
We've raised investment, so that's happening.
Well, if anyone can do it, it's you guys. And huge congratulations on the personal and the professional front. Preet Diva, thank you so, so much. Instagram website, the best way to find out more about you guys?
I think Varak, the Edible Luxury, is the Insta handle. It's amazing. And varakediblluxury.com is the website.
Here's my warning to you. Only go if you're ready for your tummy to rumble, because it is absolutely beautiful.
You're listening to Farmer's Kitchen on Dubai Eye 103.8.
With Spinneys. Eat well, live well.
Today we have a true master of pastry arts joining us, none other than Chef Angela Moussa. Fresh from opening not one but two new dining concepts at Lana. That's the Dorchester Collection here in Dubai. He's going to be tantalizing our taste buds and sharing his culinary journey from winning accolades to pioneering avant-garde creations. A real force to be reckoned with, and I am really grateful that we could take you away from the kitchens, especially on a Friday, and how busy you are. How are you, Chef? Oh, except your microphone's not working. Hang on, let's see. It's not your fault. Let's see what we can work out. Don't worry, Kia Rick is on it. We've got our best tech man in the business. There we go. Take two. How are you, Chef?
I'm really fine. Thank you so much. Thank you for inviting us. I'm
My
so happy
pleasure.
To be with you today.
Well, we love meeting chefs. We love meeting restaurateurs, journalists, but you are the ones that often make it happen. So before we talk about even the goodies that you brought for us today, let's go back in time.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about your heritage, where you grew up, and what got you into food.
So I grew up in France. I was born in Nancy, east of France. And the passion for pastry began maybe 34 years ago.
What? 34 years ago?
Yeah, 34 years ago.
This has been a life's work. Was there a dish or a moment that made you think, this is what I want to do with my life?
I can say I met someone really special, a man, Claude Bourguignon, in the east of France. Mm-hmm. And I had a coup de foudre, we say in French, for the man and for the job.
Wow, so pastry. A real mentor moment.
Yeah. It was something special happened.
Like alchemy. It's magic sometimes. We were just talking earlier, you know, how you can see these ingredients be transformed by time and patience and imagination.
And during all my life, so many things special happened.
Oh, well, thank you for being with us a little bit. Now, tell us, you have some amazing awards under your belt. World Pastry Champion, Best Craftsman in France. Tell us about the going from wanting to work in pastry to becoming one of the leading names. What hard work was going on behind the scenes, chef?
So at the beginning, I was just a pastry chef. I wanted to learn my job. And during these years, I did a few competitions, small competitions, and I reached the big one.
And the biggest one?
Biggest one, sorry. And slowly by slowly, I understand so many things, and j'ai appris plein de choses. I learned so many things, and I was confident. But I worked so many hours, so many weeks, so many years.
That's chef life. Yes. The more chefs I meet, the more I realize you have to have a passion, because that's what gets you and keeps you in the kitchen for 12, 15, 18 hours a day sometimes.
Like you said, it was passion. Mm-hmm. It was not boring. It was
exciting all the time.
Yes, exciting moment.
You've become really well known for being quite avant-garde, you know, storytelling mm-hmm. with your dishes as well, you know, infusing those dishes with, I guess, imagination and emotion and magic. Where do you get your inspiration from?
We always want to do better things. So we need to think, we need to share with friends, with colleagues, and we try to give the best. We need best ingredients. Mm-hmm. We need very good ingredients. It's very important. And we try to do the best, to give the best flavor, and with wonderful techniques.
Yeah, always learning.
Yes.
I need to ask you a personal question, and I hope it's not offensive. You've brought some beautiful treats from Bon Bon Café at Lana. How do you stay so slim? Because if it was me, I would be rolling around just, you know, maybe, with a spoon in my hand at all times.
Maybe 7 years ago, I was quite round, but I began to run, and now I'm doing a marathon.
Wow.
I did maybe 12 marathon.
Wow.
And it's amazing. Like another passion.
Yeah.
You know?
I love it. That's what keeps you going.
It's not easy, but strong to go ahead.
But does it help you relax? Are you someone whose brain is working all the time?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I need something to relax. I need something to
release.
Know the word.
Yeah.
To release, yes.
We're delving into the world of culinary magic with award-winning pastry chef Angelo Musso. He has opened up Bon Bon Café at the Lana. It's part of the Dorchester collection here in Dubai. And you very kindly brought me some treats, and I do accept bribes, so that's great. I'm going to be very kind to you during this interview, Angelo. Tell us a little bit about the concept of Bon Bon Café. What did you have in mind when you saw the space or heard about the hotel?
So first of all, I was so happy to have this opportunity to have my own shop in Dubai and to take care of the hotel too. And the concept was to bring French pastry in Dubai with perfection, with high quality, very high quality cakes and chocolate and bread and everything around pastry.
The presentation is a really important piece when it comes to pastry in particular. And I'm sure given that everyone is eating with their phones before their mouth right now, everyone's taking pictures. Yeah. The perfection is exactly the word I was thinking of.
Yes, you're right. The visual is very important. But for me, the most important is the taste, the flavor and the balance with the flavor.
Tell us a little bit about opening in Dubai, because we were just talking earlier with Chef Jason Atherton about how the Middle East has got quite a sweet preference. We like things a bit sweeter than the rest of the world. Was that something you thought about when creating the menu and the afternoon tea?
Yes, I think about that. But the first thing, it's really to bring the perfect quality of French pastry. And I believe in my job. I believe in my cakes. Mm-hmm. So we just put some flavor from Dubai, like a cheesecake, because I know they like...
Everyone loves a cheesecake.
They really like cheesecake. So we do one with raspberry and strawberry flavor.
Oh, that sounds good.
Not raspberry, sorry, with grapefruit and strawberry
wow,
flavor.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's very
nice. For my wedding cake, I had a cheesecake. Okay. That's how much I love cheesecake. Let's make us hungry. What have been some of the hits so far at Bon Bon Café, or what are you really excited about serving people? Please, we want tummies to be rumbling across Dubai. Let's make everybody hungry, chef.
What kind of cake we do?
Yeah.
So we do classic French cakes, like Paris Brest.
Donc which is what?
You don't know Paris Brest?
No.
You should know this.
He's outraged.
We have a very big story about Paris Brest. You know, it was created maybe more than 100 years old. It was created by a French pastry chef for the race Paris Brest bicycle race, and he did round cakes.
I'm Googling it right now, by the way.
Okay.
So it's like a choux pastry with praline cream.
Yes. Yeah. Praline cream, and we do our own praline. It's very important because it's one of the most important ingredients in the cream. We do millefeuille, we do éclair, almost all the classic French pastry.
I think you need to record a podcast. I've had messages about what a lovely accent you have. So everyone's really enjoying the French tones of Chef Angela Musso. Tell us a little bit about the afternoon tea. You've got some stiff competition in Dubai. Some people love having those, you know, moments in some of the biggest hotels. But then you put the Dorchester name in the mix and people have got high expectations.
We are not going to do competition.
Oh, I like it.
I did so many competitions. So
he's
now
past that.
It's the most important. It's to do the best with the best ingredients for our clients.
Sweet and savory? Are you focusing on the sweet?
Yes, we do both. And the clients have a very nice experience. It can't dure. It lasts at least 2 or 3 hours.
Oh, wow. So it's a full experience.
Yeah, it's a very nice experience. Beautiful experience.
Can I ask you lastly, chef, what are you excited about for Dubai, for the hotel, for your own creations? What's got you excited and fired up now, even after all of these years in the kitchen?
First thing is to get this project very well. Mm-hmm. So this is very important. And after, I will see with the owner, with Mr. Amjad, with Dorchester, what we can do. But
sky is the limit.
Yes.
My very last question. You very kindly bought me and Milani some treats. I'm sure we'll throw a chocolate at Rick as well if he's a good boy in the next half hour. What have you brought us? Can you tell me
we brought some truffle, Jean Dujat truffle. It's a hazelnut paste with some chocolate. You have a box with different kind of chocolate bonbon.
We've put something on our Instagram stories. You can. We just used the word perfection there. You need to see these. They are absolutely beautiful.
And you have a chocolate bar, Bonbon Café Angelo Musso.
Huge congratulations.
Thank you so
it's
much.
It's wonderful
you.
To have you here with us today,
thank
but
you.
Also wonderful to have you in Dubai as well. And I'll come to your office
next
time.
I wait you.
Chef Angelo Musso speaking to us. Bon Bon Café now open at the Lana Dorchester Collection here in Dubai. Head over to our Instagram so you can have a look at some of those gorgeous creations.
This is Farmer's Kitchen on Dubai Eye 103.8.
With Spinneys. Eat well, live well.
So we love your ideas and recommendations, but I also feel like it's a bit of a duty of mine to share what's new in town. Sometimes we speak to food writers and journalists about it, and sometimes we go straight to the creators. And joining us now is Marina Bonnet. She is the director of F&B at Hilton Dubai Palm Jumeirah. They've got a new Sunday brunch, but I want to talk about so much more than that. How are you, Marina?
Hello, Helen. I'm great. How are you?
I'm really well, thank you. I love a Friday. I love talking food. I love introducing people to new places to go and see. So I honestly couldn't be happier. Plus, I've got some chocolates in front of me from the previous guests. So big smiles over here at Spinneys. I wanted to ask you a little bit about setting yourself apart because, you know, Dubai is such a vibrant dining community. And, you know, not to say between us, but I'm happy to say, you know, I get an awful lot of press releases an awful lot of the time saying this new place is open. There is a new themed night. Da, 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 da. And I feel like it's kind of my role and responsibility to be a bit of a gatekeeper of, you know, what is worth time on air. When I worked in magazines, what's worth the space on the page? And you've been working in the industry for years. So I wanted to ask you about how you decide what to introduce to market. You know, what research goes on behind the scenes when you're looking at what people want, the neighborhood, the venue, the offering? Would you mind shedding some light?
No, of course. I think it's always important to obviously see what is the demand in the market, what are the current trends, and then decide what is worth implementing and what to bring new to the market.
Mm-hmm. And the brunch, there's a new brunch that started just a couple of weeks ago at Hilton Dubai Palm Jumeirah. It's the Imagination Brunch. And how do you see it fitting into that brunch landscape? Because, I mean, Dubai loves a brunch. We love a new one even more. What do you feel like you're bringing?
Obviously, for us, it was important to bring, something new, exciting, fun. So, and something where you can find something for everyone. So, and we have already several brunches at our hotel. But we thought we don't have anything dedicated for families. And that's why we came up to launch a new family brunch, which is our Imagination Brunch.
Now, we've seen a bit of a rise in kind of dinnertainment, having something to eat while your eyes being entertained as well. Tell us about some of the entertainment aspect that's been brought into to brunch, to the Sunday offering at Mausam.
No, absolutely. And I think what we wanted to create is to have a full-on children entertainment, which is starting from 1 o'clock and last till 4:30. And being a parent myself, so it's extremely important that your kids are entertained so you can also enjoy the brunch as a parent. So yes. We have from a from a singing unicorn princess to a rooming magician, which is also entertaining the adults.
Whenever there's a magician at a brunch, I'm like, okay, forget the kids. If you could come and sit down next to me and just, I'll ignore my friends for the next 10 minutes. Everyone loves a magician. Have you got a good one?
Yes, we have. And okay. I mean, I have to say he impressed me as well. So it's, I always still wonder how they actually, how they do it.
I know, especially because it's one thing to see magic on the stage, but when someone's sitting, a few feet away, I'm like, yeah, you're not going to get past me. And then they do every single time. Singing unicorn princesses, a roaming magician, what else is keeping big
we
and little ones
entertained? We have a magic dragon mascot. We have an amazing wizard science show, which the kids love and also the adults. And we have a bouncy castle, arts and crafts, face painting, so many activities for children.
Marina, am I right in thinking that you've been in the UAE for close to 20 years now?
Yes, that's correct.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Okay, so tell us, we could be here all day. What changes have you noticed, from an insider's point of view in terms of offering, in terms of demand, how our needs as diners have changed? What are some of your big kind of takeaways and reflections for the last two decades?
I mean, looking back, obviously, Dubai's hospitality, food and drink scene has grown incredibly. There was a very, I would say, low demand when I came to Dubai. And seeing now how many restaurants and bars are here in Dubai is just incredible. The diversity is outstanding. And to stand out, you always need to offer something different. You need to stand out. You need to keep it exciting, entertaining, and something for our guests to look forward to.
Now, let's talk newness. From 20 years ago to what's just launched 2 weeks ago at your property. We're talking about the Imagination Brunch and magicians and unicorn princesses and bouncy castles and more. And I have to say, as a parent, thank you for taking the children off our hands. And sorry, that sounds very negative. Allowing us to have a family experience where we all have some fun. But what about the food? Tell us a little bit about how Chef Christian's kind of setting the food apart as well as the entertainment.
I mean, we have an extensive selection of international cuisine from a large variety of seafood with live oyster trolley, an absolutely extensive selection at our live barbecue station outdoor. And the sweets, they're absolutely amazing. Something, which you haven't seen before.
You can't just say that. We had a message before saying, is there a chocolate fountain? Mark? There is a chocolate fountain. good. I'll tell her. We had a message from S saying, please say there's a chocolate fountain. Isn't that funny? My kids love a chocolate fountain. It's like magical to them. It really, really is. One thing we've had a lot of conversation about, and through the pandemic, and then into Ramadan is about food waste and, you know, how brunches need to play a role in mitigating that. How does that brunch piece fit into your philosophies there around sustainability and making sure that you're looking after the bottom line, but also looking after the planet as well? Is that a factor, a consideration?
Definitely. And this is something, obviously, where we as a company as well, I would say one of the driver in hospitality. So with creating a lot of life stations, this is supporting to control food waste and obviously support sustainability. The same with the products that are being used to produce the food, the ingredients. So we really focus with the kitchen team on sourcing locally produced products and showcasing sustainability.
Let's zoom out from the brunch for a second, but looking at the property as a whole, if we're going to come to Dubai Hilton Palm Jumeirah this weekend, Marina is director of F&B. I know you'll be, you know, meeting the chefs, having meetings with clients as well. What's your favorite dish across all of the outlets right now?
Oh, that's a very tricky question, I have to say.
I know. You're not here for an easy time, Marina.
No, to be honest, I wouldn't know which particular one to pick because each restaurant, each concept has something unique to offer. So
that's very diplomatic. That's a very quick way of not annoying the chefs. But thank you. Thank you so, so much for your time. We had a message saying, what time is the brunch? So Imagination Brunch is Sunday. What time to what time, Marina?
It's from 1 o'clock till 4:30 p.m.
PM. Thank you so, so much for your time, especially on a Friday. I really do appreciate it. Get yourself off back to the kitchens, back to your team, and might see you for a bit of magic this Sunday afternoon. Marina speaking to us from Dubai Hilton Palm Jumeirah. Marina Barnard is the director of F&B. Thanks for being with us on this episode of Farmer's Kitchen. You can tune in live every single Friday afternoon between 2 and 5 on Dubai Eye 103.8.